This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. In late November of 1978, gay activist and San Francisco city supervisor Harvey Milk was shot and killed by one of his fellow city supervisors.
He had anticipated that he might be assassinated and recorded cassettes to share some of his final thoughts. Excerpts of those tapes were played in news coverage of the event.
This is to be played only in the event of my death by assassination. I fully realize that a person who stands for what I stand for, an activist, gay activist, becomes the target or the potential target for somebody who is insecure, terrified, afraid, or very disturbed themselves.
Our next guest was in his car driving in Madison when he heard Harvey Milk's final message over the radio, and that inspired him to enter into the world of politics and join the ranks of the first openly gay elected officials in the country.
Dick Wagner joins us now in the studio. He's former chair of the Dane County Board of Supervisors. He's speaking tomorrow in Madison at the Pyle Center at 6 p.m. as part of the UW-Madison Department of Sociology's series, Wisconsin Dialogue. Dick, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
Well, there you were in your car. What went through your head when you heard, I saw you react just now, to
yeah,
that. What did you feel in that moment?
It was very moving. I had started being involved with some gay efforts in town, but that really pushed me forward to do more. And, you know, part of the main issue we have faced for decades is the homophobia and the fact that people would be willing to hurt and even kill us for the mere matter of who we were has been a reality of our lives all of these decades.
Here's another moment from that recording by Harvey Milk, one of three recordings, as I understand. Here he's saying he hopes that in the event of his death by assassination, more people, especially in public positions, would come out of the closet.
I'd love to see every gay doctor come out. I'd love to see every gay lawyer, every gay judge, every gay bureaucrat, every gay architect come out. Stand up, let the world know that we'd do more to end prejudice overnight than anybody could ever imagine.
So did that particular call for people in all walks of life to come out, did that help inspire you to get actively involved in running for office in politics?
Definitely. Though I was interested in politics for a long while, but that was a big motivation.
And were you reluctant to put yourself out there? Before this?
One's not jumping up and down to, you know, bring upon oneself all of this sort of social hostility. But when one feels it's important, one does it. I mean, I got very nasty mail over the years from people. And I know other people who actually got more serious threats than I did. So it's not something you're eager to do, but something you're compelled to do.
Well, Harvey Milk, I mean, you picture him sitting in his camera store with a cassette recorder making those and knowing that and being right that he was under mortal risk. Did you think about that you could have been in the same level of danger running for a similar office?
I did think of it, not, I think, with a great deal of weight, but it was not far from my mind at times. But if you let yourself be immobilized by that, you won't do what you need to do.
Now, I said you were among the first people, openly gay people,
right.
Not the first even in Wisconsin. So you had some...
There are precedents.
Some precedent.
Jim Yaden got elected to the city council, first by the council members themselves and then in a public election. In fact, he got elected before Harvey Milk. And Judy Greenspan actually ran in 73 for the Madison School Board. She didn't win, but she ran in one of the first campaigns of an open lesbian in Madison.
Not a lot of precedent, though, when you decided to file those papers to run for office.
Right.
What kind of react? I mean, was this, if you were going to run anywhere in the country, did you feel like Madison was at least a somewhat friendlier place?
Oh, sure, because the city had already adopted a non-discrimination ordinance on the basis of sexual orientation in 1975. So, and I had campaigned for that in 74. And so one knew it was a better place than some other places. And so, yeah, this was a much better place to run. And at one point, we had seven out elected officials here in 1989 when we we hosted the Conference of Out Gay Lesbian Elected Officials.
I'm talking to Dick Wagner, former chair of the Dane County Board of Supervisors, about his experience as one of the first openly gay elected public officials in Wisconsin and in the country, for that matter. Things started to change around this time at the statewide level. Now, we're not just talking Madison here. Right. What happened in the years after you were elected?
Well, Wisconsin in 82 passed a non-discrimination law, the Gay Rights Bill. It was the first state in the nation to do so, and we were the only state to have one for about 7 years till somebody else caught up with us. We also passed in 83 the Consenting Adults legislation, and then person I termed the fabulous Tony Earle became governor, and he created the Governor's Council on Lesbian and Gay Issues and asked me to be one of its co-chairs. And so many things happened to increase the dialogue about gay folks that went on from the 80s forward.
I imagine in some ways you may have looked at it and thought, wow, these things are changing really quickly. And in another way, it may have felt like it took forever to get that stage. How were you feeling at that time?
At that time, I was just excited. We were doing wonderful things. We were creating the New Harvest Foundation. We were building all kinds of community institutions. But since I've retired, my interest has shifted to what were the pre-Stonewall precedents for our community. And they're remarkable and amazing in so many ways. And that's what I'm going to be talking about on Tuesday.
Yeah, and I want to get into that some. Sure. Now, let's go back to the prehistory a little bit before your run for office. Who do you look back on in Wisconsin as inspiration, models, in a tougher time?
Well, I don't have a lot of names, though I do have some. Joe Koberstein and Keith McCutcheon would be a couple who actually lived in my same house and were there in the 40s, 50s, and 60s and were part of a gay social circle on the east side. Certainly, we had Ted Pierce, who was an African-American man who was here, and I had an interview with him where he described gay life in the 1930s in Madison and how active that it was. And then my research has uncovered a whole series of Wisconsin academics in the 40s, 50s, who actually, in studying homosexuality, give voice to the sayings of gay men. It wasn't the purpose of their studies, but gay men seized the opportunity to be part of the studies as a way to get their own narratives into the discussion.
Now, in that era, the pre-60s era, how out could someone really be?
They really couldn't be out because you could get arrested, and many were, for criminal activity. But again, they spoke with a voice, and the voice that they spoke of talked about they were concerned with finding relationships, finding love. It was not just sex, which is what the presumption would have been of some of the researchers and other folks. They also had networks of communication and social organizations which existed pre-Stonewall. We think all of that stuff comes after Stonewall, but it was really existing a lot pre-Stonewall. There were bars and social institutions that existed pre-Stonewall. So the links between pre- and post-Stonewall in our own state's gay history is really quite fascinating.
So as someone who then ultimately ran for office, and what kind of debt do you feel you have to those people and their voices?
I have a lot of debt, and that's the thing, is I didn't know their voices when I began. And so I want people today to hear their voices, which comes through this research from a number of Wisconsin academics, and understand that they're part of a much larger chain of history. Larry Kramer has said, you can't be a people without a history. And so part of this discussion is to talk about what our history is so that people will know it.
It seems like you might want to, if you could, time travel and show the people who's writing about where we are now.
Right. Well, actually, some of my research, I know the social geography of what gay folks were like pre-Stonewall in Madison. I know the places that they went for social life. I know the places where they actually got arrested in some cases. I have a number of the police reports of their arrests that I've studied. So that time travel would be a very interesting thing for me with my map of the past.
Yeah. Now, that's what led up to your decision that day to actively get involved in politics. Let's talk about some of the things that have happened since.
Sure.
Same-sex marriage rulings in the courts.
Right.
And openly LGBT U.S. senator and U.S. congressperson from Wisconsin.
Right, we're the only state that has three elected congresspeople, Steve Gunderson, as well as Mark Pocan and Tammy Baldwin. And so, you know, there's something in the water or something here. I mean, most everybody thinks gay history happens on the East or West Coast, but there's a lot of it in the Midwest that's not known, and that's part of my crusade right now is to make it known. You know, Lloyd Barbie, who started Wisconsin Sex Reform in 1971, right after Stonewall, he introduced probably the first gay marriage bill in the country in the Wisconsin legislature. He didn't expect it to pass, but he introduced it and put that on the agenda.
So back in 1978, you were sitting in your car hearing the news of Harvey Milk's death.
Right.
Out there right now might be a young gay or lesbian person, LGBT person, hearing you talk on the radio. Maybe they're in their car. Maybe at the same intersection right now. What would you say to them about the past and the future?
You need to live your life boldly. You need to be part of a community. And you need to share the story of what our lives are. The homophobia that all these folks experienced, and they knew it was homophobia. They knew they weren't sick. They reject the diagnosis that was tried to put on them in these past decades. But there's still a lot of work out there to convince people that we are citizens of this country and that we have contributions to make and that we will make them.
Dick, thanks so much for joining us today.
Sure.
That was Dick Wagner, former chair of the Dane County Board of Supervisors. He's speaking tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the Pyle Center in Madison.
You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.